Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Music writer Will Hermes is a regular contributor to NPR, The New York Times, Rolling Stone, and Pitchfork. He's the author of the books Love Goes to Buildings on Fire and Lou Reed, The King of New York. His Substack of music writing is at newmusicoldmusic.substack.com. Since 2010, Will and I have talked music in the waning hours of each calendar year here on The Roundtable. We missed a couple of years for a couple of different reasons, but we're here this year to share some songs with you. Will, always a delight. It is good to see you, my friend.
It is so good to be actually in the studio because a lot of times we've been doing these things on Zoom.
Are there any sort of music stories before we get into specific artists that you want to talk about, sort of summarize the year?
Yeah, I mean, I'll make it quick. There really were a lot. There was a big story in the world of streaming, and I think that involved Spotify, which is the big dog on the block, and frankly, questionable business practices. They pay the lowest rate per stream to musicians by a country mile compared to many of the other competitors, Apple Music being one. Cobuz, I think it's pronounced, which is a new French streaming service, which is kind of high fidelity. I've been using it, and it sounds really great. Daniel Ek from Spotify has also been heading up a company that's involved in funding drone warfare research, and a lot of people there are boycotts happening right now towards Spotify. So that's a question. There was a book written, which I think really is the music book of the year, if I had to pick one, and it's called Mood Machine by Liz Pelly, great investigative journalist who spent years researching the rise of Spotify. She was in Sweden. She interviewed a lot of former employees, some of whom didn't want to be on the record, but she really wrote a good and important book, which has really gotten a lot of traction. She's actually been traveling around the world, like doing book events, because Spotify is a global corporation. So it's interesting. The other big story of the year, which I guess this is a little self-serving because I'm involved in Substack because I have a music Substack, but pop musicians jumping on Substack, and it's really kind of like become part of people's creative output, which is very exciting. Jeff Tweedy of Wilco, who's a great love of both of us.
Perennial favorite.
Yes. He's been using it for many years. He'll do cover versions. He must have dozens, if not hundreds, up there, as well as his writing. Patti Smith has been on it for years and still going strong. She does a lot of writing. She puts her photography up there. She does a lot of video lately, which is now kind of on the rise. The platform has, you know, gotten a video interface together. Charlie XCX just started. Great writer. Go figure. Woman of many, many talents. She's going to be in a bunch of movies this year, too. So
it's her world. We're just living in it.
Yes, yes. And Rosalia, who I want to talk about maybe right off the bat also, has had a Substack, and it's in Spanish. Rosalia's Substack is what I've been using to refresh
your Spanish.
Yes, and taking a class at SUNY New Paltz. So let's start with talking about what I see as, my gosh, just an absolute renaissance of Spanish language pop, Latin-rooted music of all stripes, which is always, I mean, rich music has come out of Latin America, Central America, the Caribbean, and Spain for, you know, hundreds of years.
Ever, yeah.
But particularly, it's just been hitting lately. I mean, there's the Bad Bunny record, which might be the biggest selling record in the world of the year. Very good record. He's playing the Super Bowl, a controversial pick.
Not at my house.
Yeah, not for me, but, you know,
right.
the man is a bona fide superstar, incredibly talented. And it really is a great record that really taps into, you know, old school salsa as well as new school reggaeton and bachata, et cetera, et cetera. And now I think the Super Bowl halftime show is going to be, he's going to be the main event, but there are going to be a bunch of other people kind of jumping in, various languages.
It's exciting.
It's very exciting. And speaking of various languages, my number one record of the year, I'm probably not alone, is Rosalía's record called Lux, which in English is light, L-U-X. And if I'm not mistaken, Sarah, a few years ago, I think we might have led off a discussion of the year in music with a discussion of El Malcader,
yep,
which was really her breakout pop record. She came up as a flamenco artist, which is, you know, a very rigorous discipline. She grew up outside of Barcelona and really went in, you know, and she put out a kind of nuevo flamenco record, but then, you know, El Malcader, and then Motomami was the next one. That was a huge, you know, that was really a pop record. But Lux is, I don't even know what you'd call it. Like, it's a classical opera pop fusion concept record about spirituality and a whole lot of other things that really reaches back into biblical texts. It reaches back into philosophical texts. It's a fascinating record. Should we listen to a little bit of it?
I think we should.
Okay. There are a lot of things that sound maybe a little bit more conventional than this, but this was the first single. The kids might call it the banger. it is definitely a banger, and it's called Bergain.
That is some of the tune Bergain by Rosalía from her album Lux. Just a tremendous, tremendous record. People were so excited about it as it came out. It kept kind of, you know, spreading word of mouth like good music does. It's an incredible record. She's so talented.
Yes. So.
So we're off to an excellent start with the year in music. I'm Sarah LaDuke here with Will Hermes. Where are we going next, Will?
You know, maybe we'll stay in the pop realm, and maybe we'll stay just for a minute more in the Spanish language pop realm. But I did want to say that it just seemed to me that the action in pop music this year, yeah, there was a Lady Gaga record, which people
really loved.
You love it. I have not spent enough time with it, but I'm going to because it's, you know, everybody seems to really love it.
She hosted SNL last spring and was the host and musical guest. The two numbers, Abracadabra and Killer, staged incredibly, one on the little stage and one using the hallways of SNL. Then she was hilarious in every sketch. She did everything except the cold open and Weekend Update. And she's just a star. I mean, she's an amazing, amazing performer. And the album is really great.
It's amazing how pop artists these days, like Ariana Grande is another one who's like, you know, amazing singer, obviously, and a great big pop star, but like an amazing actress, you know, funny,
yep,
super funny, great comedian. Anyway.
Maybe we ask too much of them.
Perhaps, but they rise to the occasion. Sabrina Carpenter, another one, also very, very funny.
Yep.
She's one of my favorite guests from SNL this year. All that said, and all of these people that we're mentioning, they're U.S. artists, but there's been a lot of action in Europe, a lot of action in the U.K. specifically. I really love the Obangjayar record, the FKA Twigs record were big pop records this year, pop-ish. Smurs and Oklu are both from France. They're both French pop artists, and they've been real critical faves. I know they were high up on the Pitchfork list. But there's a record that I really loved by an artist named Juana Molina. It's not a gigantic pop star, although at one point she kind of came up in the way that, you know, some of these artists come up as Disney stars. Juana Molina came up as a comedian in Argentina. And she was, I mean, she was on TV. She was like, she had her own show, which is a big deal. She had always wanted to make music and kind of like fell into comedy just because she was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
She put out an indie record, I think maybe on the Domino label back in 2000. You know, it was odd. It was one of the first records that people talked about as being folktronica. So it was like rooted in, you know, acoustic guitar and some traditional, you know, kind of South American, Latin American musical forms. But she was really using electronics in an interesting way. So anyway, she had a comeback record, which is great. Let's listen to a little bit of a song called Siestas Ahí.
Siestas Ahí by Juana Molina, the Argentinian artist. That is super fun.
And the name of the album, which I don't think we mentioned, was Doga, D-O-G-A, and it has a picture of a very cuddly-looking dog.
This appeals to my interests.
Perros, a.k.a. Perros, or Perro. Okay, let's do one more track.
Very happy to do it.
One more track that kind of stays in the realm of music that we've been talking about, that's got roots in Peru, in South America. But also, Alejandra Cardenas is based in Berlin now, I think. She's an electronic artist, and she came out with this great record. It's kind of an odd record with a Congolese guitarist working in this great sort of dance music tradition of West Africa from the 80s and 90s. He's kind of an old school guy. His name is Titi Bakorka, and the name of this song is Mapam Bazuko. It's a lot of electronics and some amazing guitar kind of duking it out.
Mapam Bazuko is the name of the song and the name of the record from Alehop. That's Alejandra Cardenas and Titi Bakorka. So fun. We love it.
Yes. I mean, it's funny music. Like, Alehop is Alejandra's stage name, artistic moniker. And she does electronic music. But, like, you know, electronic music can be really funny.
It can be. Bleeps right. And bloops can go
yes,
a lot of ways.
Exactly. It sort of like sounds like a, you know, like Bugs Bunny, like a cartoon Carl Stalling soundtrack music kind of thing. So let's swing back to, you know, one of the most American, I guess you could say, North American musical forms, country music, although that is also, like, you know, got its roots all over the world.
Of course.
So it was an interesting year. It was not there was not like a giant kind of consensus country record to my ear, although there were some big ones. There are some younger artists coming up who I really, really dig. Carter Faith, she had a record which is sort of a breakout. This song is, it speaks for itself. It's called Sex, Drugs, and Country Music.
When I first heard pedal steel, sheets and wailing, heals the soul of a heart that's breaking. Go play that six-string Cupid, get me high.
sex, drugs, and country music, starting off our country block here on The Year in Music with Will Hermes. That's by Carter Faith.
Carter Faith. And who else? Margot Price had a great record this year called Hard-Headed Woman. Who else? Ken Pomeroy is a singer-songwriter from Oklahoma. She's a Native American artist who has just got a beautiful voice, and she's an amazing songwriter. And there's also an artist who, I don't know if she's, it's fair to call her country, but she's certainly got roots in folk. She sort of started as like, in R&B. And her moniker is Anastasia, A-N-N-A-H-S-T-A-S-I-A. And take a listen to this track. This is, she's an artist who I think we're going to be hearing more from. This was a super strong album. It's a little under the radar, but this song is called Villain.
Song there, Villain, the album Tether, and the artist Anastasia.
Yeah, and a lot of other people coming out of country, working around country. The most interesting stuff in country music, which has kind of always been the case, but now more than ever, it just seems that it's really sort of playing with the form. I mean, I think that Carter Faith record is, it's kind of campy. It's sort of like, it's country, but it's also sort of like maybe making fun of country norms a little bit. Haley Witters had a great record called Corn Queen, which I think she's a master of doing just that while sounding like, you know, a song that could be played on country radio. Hayes Carl, who played a show this year, I think, out at Bearsville. He's a great songwriter, I think from Texas. It was real good. Tyler Childers had a good record this year. Maddie Diaz, who sort of came out of the Nashville songwriting scene, but is really more like kind of indie rock pop. A lot of interesting stuff. We've got a playlist, right?
We do.
That we're going to have.
Yes.
My Substack, I've also got like a gigantic, like if people want like a 9-hour playlist, the name of the Substack is Will Hermes New Music Plus Old Music. And you can really, really go in.
You really can. As you do, it's, I mean, the passion and intellect from your years of experience that you have on display for people to read is really, it's very generous of you, Will. So cool.
Yeah, a lot of it, I'd say the bulk of it is not paywalled, is right. Free. And then I just paywall certain things like the playlists. But it's really my research during the course of the year. Like I keep playlists of things that I hear about, things I hear and really like. And then it's sort of a reference point. And I have it in all streaming platforms. So like whatever your streaming platform, you'll be able to tap in.
And we will, of course, link it directly at WAMC.org along with this conversation and segment.
Here in R&B, I mean, the big news in R&B is sad news was the death of D'Angelo. It's always too early, especially for an artist of that magnitude, but it was quite sad. And yet, the great records by younger artists this year feel like they're very much kind of coming from that tradition that he really sort of epitomized.
You can see the legacy in the new work.
Yeah, the sort of neo-soul that's kind of, you know, rooted in the old school soul artists that we love so much, the, you know, the great fusionists like Sly Stone and Marvin Gaye, and then, you know, a little bit later, Prince. An artist that, if you like Prince, you need to listen to the record Baby by a guy named Dijon, D-I-J-O-N. His DNA somehow, like, it's not a guitar-forward record,
nope,
but it is an incredibly soulful, a lot of falsetto singing. It's sort of like a super psychedelic version of Prince music using modern electronics. Like, there's a lot of vocal layering and a lot of like unstable kind of rhythms, jump cuts, kind of like club music effects. But it's really worth a listen. Maybe we'll listen to a little bit of Yamaha.
Dijon with the song Yamaha. The name of the record is Baby. And one of the vocalists that was on SNL with Dijon is a former Dirty Projector. So that's singing chops.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, at least one.
Amber Kaufman, was it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's another great artist. There seem to be a lot of artist names that are either food or animals.
Yeah, there. Yes.
Mean, all the animals are in rock. We'll talk about that later. But, like, you know, we had Dijon. Also, Blood Orange had a fantastic record called Essex Honey, which I don't know if that's actually a type of honey, but beautiful record. Dev Hynes, who is Blood Orange, the main guy, works with all sorts of people. He's a cellist, but he's also a soul singer, but he's also an electronic music producer. Amazing guy. You know, there were a lot of things in hip-hop. Also, a lot of interesting stuff coming from the UK. We already mentioned, I think, Obung Jayar. I caught Lil Sims, who is a rapper from the UK and kind of a soul artist. She'd worked with the mysterious collective Salt over the years, S-A-U-L-T, and then had a falling out with them. But she put out a great record. Let's listen to a little bit of the song Free.
I think that love is forgiving yourself. I think that love is offering your immediate help. I think that love is everything that we need in this world. I think the key is being honest and being yourself. I think love is understanding that people can change and loving them anyway through every stage. I read all about love, then I gave it to Jade. Love is sharing knowledge, there's so much to gain. Love is every time I put pen to the page. If I don't love what I'm doing, then I'm hardly engaged, yeah. God, you love me though, I am flawed. I know I'm not an innocent child, but I am yours. And if you're with me, you are safe. I know my body isn't immortal, but I am brave. I think you know it's real love when it's sincere. I'ma show up, I ain't scared, eradicate fear, yeah.
The record is called Lotus, the artist Lil Sims, and that song, Free. There's so much more where this has come from. We have genres we've yet to touch, genres that are important to us. We'll be back with more of the Year in Music with Will Hermes. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Welcome back to the Year in Music. Sarah LaDuke here with Will Hermes. Is it time to rock?
It's time to rock, yeah. there's a lot of rock. This was a great year for rock. There were times, people are always talking about the death of rock. You know, there were years where there was some credibility to that concept. Not this year. We could talk about Geese, and we will talk about Geese, but let's hold off on talking about Geese for the moment. Who else could we talk about? You know, Nico Case, great artist who lives in our area.
Love her so much.
Also has like one of the top read Substacks. She's an amazing writer. She's working on a musical now.
She is.
It's a musical version of Thelma and Louise,
yeah,
isn't it?
I'm really excited about that.
Do you have any intel on that?
Do I have any intel? I think the only intel, which would have been announced whenever the main announce was, is that the screenwriter, Callie Curry, is also writing the book of the musical. So that's fantastic to keep the original voice involved. I typically enjoy when they do that.
This is something that I thought was really pretty interesting. There's like, not only has this been a great year for just rock, you know, like hit you in your chest, punch you in the head, kind of, you know, guitar-based rock music, but there's been a real renaissance of literary writing in rock lyrics. And, you know, I want to talk about the group Wednesday and their lead vocalist, songwriter, Carly Hartzman, who's an amazing writer. But we were talking about the Mountain Goats. That guy, I mean, he may be the godfather of, like, literary indie rock, yeah?
Yeah. His record this year is called Through This Fire Across from Peter Balkin. And it is the idea of the story came to him in a dream, the name of the character, and the idea for a tale of a shipwreck. It is a concept album that really does lean toward full-blown musical. The multi-instrumentalist for the Mountain Goats, Matt Douglas, produced the record, plays a lot of instruments on it. Tommy Stinson from The Replacements is on the record.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Our pal Michaela Davis, fantastic harpist, plays on that record. And then musical theaters, Broadway's Lin-Manuel Miranda also sings backup on a few songs.
I've heard of that guy.
You've heard of him, yes.
You're a fan, right?
I'm a fan. And this record, it has, like you were saying, just these full picture painting, gloriously poetic lyrics, but some of the songs are quite boppy, like really fun to, you know, bop to and think about. There's a lot of heart in it. There's feels like forbidden love kind of running through the course of it.
A perennial.
And it's just great. Once it came out, I listened to it all the time. Paul started calling it my favorite album. It's like, what are you listening to? Your favorite album? It's like, I am listening to my favorite album.
And Paul's ahead.
Paul's a big Mountain Goats guy going way, way back, and I've been catching up. But this one is, I really, really love it and can't recommend it enough. I've spent so much time with it. It has an overture that's beautiful. You know, because, again, a musical concept album. So the first track is instrumental, and it's gorgeous and has pieces, like an overture does, pieces of the melodies you're about to hear throughout the album. I just love it. Can't get enough of it.
How do you want to play some of that? Do you want to play some of what was this first single, Armies of the Lord? What do you want to hear?
I think I want to play a little bit of the last song, Broken to Begin With, because it is a hoppy one that I feel like gives, you know, good energy to wrap up the show and has like a lesson about,
bring
you know,
it.
Do
bring
your
it,
best,
girl.
But some things were messed up before you arrived, so keep doing your best.
Okay, timely.
When the archaeologists arrive, no proof that we were ever here alive. Me and Peter Balkin and you, friend, until the dream ran out of oxygen. Is this not what you wanted from the sea? Is this not what the waves require of me? Isn't this what we suspect we'll see? On the day we finally get free. And if that day turns out to be today, maybe that's okay. It was broken to me. It was broken to begin with. It was like that when we got here. It was like this when we got here. It was broken to begin with.
That's the Mountain Goats, Broken to Begin With, from their concept record from this year, Through This Fire Across from Peter Balkin.
Excellent. Carly Hartzman of Wednesday, to my mind, it would have been my record of the year before the Rosalia record came out and then before the Geese record, which we'll get to in a minute, came out. But nevertheless, it is a giant rock record in terms of the writing, the guitars, which is absolutely crush. Last year's best of lists, a lot of them had a record by MJ Lenderman.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
Yes, Jake Lenderman is the guitarist in Wednesday. So, and him and Carly were a couple for a while. Now they're not, but they are keeping the band together, which is beautiful.
He plays solo and then like with everyone, doesn't he? It feels like. Not everyone, but Waxahachie, maybe.
I saw him playing drums with the group Snowcaps, which is Katie from Waxahachie and her twin sister Allison, just last week.
There you
actually.
Go.
Yeah. So he's the guy. Guy works. He's got a work ethic, no doubt. But anyway, she did a beautiful record that's super powerful. The storytelling, both her and Lenderman are, you know, they're big fans of like Southern fiction writers, you know, guys like the late Larry Brown, and they have learned how to telescope stories into lyrical forms. Maybe my favorite from the album, although it keeps changing, is a song from the Wednesday record. It's called Townies. So let's listen to a little bit of Townies.
Catching up with the townies. Some have gone, but most are still around. The ghosts, them surround me. Hang on tight until they drown. Met you.
Wednesday's record is entitled Bleeds, and that was a little bit of the song Townies.
That term Townies, like just the from the title right off, like that kind of hit me, because as a kid from the city who went to school in upstate New York at SUNY Binghamton, that was the first time I probably ever heard the word Townies, which, you know, it was from a college kid, it was kind of like maybe a slightly disparaging,
right,
classist kind of thing. But the way she flips the term and in the song, like it's kind of a story that, you know, there's love, there's a affection. There's a lot of things going on in, you know, a pretty roller coaster narrative. So with a lot of sharp turns. Anyway, Wednesday's record was great. Lenderman was not completely off duty on the best songs of the year list. He did a song with this group called This Is Lorelei, who had a record in 2024. He remade one of their songs, literally with them backing him up, called Dancing in the Club, which was Rolling Stone's number two record of the year. What was the name of the album again? Oh, it's Box for Buddy, Box for Star, Deluxe Edition, which came out this year. That is the This Is Lorelei record, and the song is called Dancing in the Club, with vocals by MJ Lenderman.
And I know it's only cars, but love, I feel your heart in space. While you were dancing in the club, I gave my diamonds all away. I fired off every nerve inside my lover's nervous arms. I was counting lucky stars before I walked out of the bar.
dancing in the club, an activity far gone from my experience at this point, but I'll get back maybe someday. Anyway, yes. Dancing in the Club is the song. This is Lorelei with MJ Lenderman.
People who run dance clubs, please just do like more events that start at 4 p.m. Sarah and I will be there.
Yeah. Stock your bar with emergency.
True.
Are we doing animals in rock music now?
Yeah, I guess we can. We talked about mountain goats.
We did.
Horse Girl put out a fantastic record. That was also like very high up. Might have been my favorite record of the year. Came out early this year. Three young women from Chicago who I think are now in New York. Two of them are going to NYU the last I checked. Very 90s-centric sort of sound. Fans of Stereolab will like the Horse Girl record. Fans of the Raincoats in particular will like it as well. And even if you don't know those bands, they're worth a listen. And Geese? Should we get into talking about Geese?
Yes. I am behind on Geese, understanding that they are the it thing right now. I also think, I think it was this same calendar year that I learned about Goose. And I was like, there's a going concern called Goose and another one called Geese, and I'm meant to be able to keep this straight.
It's unreasonable by any measure.
I'm glad you agree.
But in fact, I discovered Geese a year and a half ago by getting tickets at Tubby's for a show by a band that initially at first glance I thought, oh, Goose are playing Tubby's? That's a pretty small venue for them. And then I was like, oh, no, it's a band called Geese. But let me check them out. And I checked them out and I was like, okay, they had a record called 3D Country, which was highly regarded. Caught them. I was like, wow, this is something. And then I saw them since this new record came out. They played at Levon's in Woodstock. And
the best place to see anyone.
Yeah. And it was really something. They're a New York band. And they're definitely things about them that hark back to, you know, kind of classic New York bands. In terms of like the hype around them, people talk about the Strokes, who came out in the late 90s around the aughts and early aughts and were a real phenomenon. Young guys, young guitar band, very passionate front man. Cameron Winter is the front man of Geese. And there's a lot going on. They have been storming the country, playing overseas, playing in Europe. They've been doing so many shows in New York. They sold out two nights at the Paramount. They played a set of covers, only covers, at the Blue Note. If you go online, you can find a version of Cameron Winter singing Leonard Cohen's Suzanne and killing it.
Yeah.
And then recently he did a solo piano concert, just his songs and a piano, at Carnegie Hall.
That's really ascending all the ranks, like, quickly.
Bonkers.
Yeah.
Just bonkers.
So cool.
Somebody, some critic, some online influencer critic of some note said, like, I went to that show at Carnegie Hall and I felt like I was witnessing the birth of a cultural icon.
Wow.
And sounded like overstatement, but like...
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, let's listen to a song so people can figure out what all this fuss is about. There are a lot of people who are kind of like, yeah, this is just like a lot of hype. But anyway, this record was a real grower for me. And this song, I'm pronouncing it wrong, but it's actually a flawed French phrase. Au pays du coquin, which is a play on a painting by Bruegel. It's titled The Land of Cocaine, which is spelled C-O-C-K-A-I-G-N-E. And I guess au pays means at home or kind of like in the land of.
Country,
maybe?
Pays is country.
Like país is country in Spanish.
Yeah.
So it would be like, you know, in the land of cocaine. Anyway, it's a beautiful song that seems to have nothing to do with cocaine. So anyway, let's listen.
You can turn. Like a sailor in a big green bar.
Pay du Cocaine by this incredible outfit on the come up, Geese. Maybe they're tip top, and I shouldn't say on the come up, but like they're going to continue to proliferate. Everything seems like everybody will know about them sooner or later.
Yes, there's a lot of layers there. I wouldn't necessarily call them one of those bands that's part of this literary rock renaissance, but they're deceptively smart. They come on just like these kind of like savants in a way, but the music's so musical, chord changes, very sophisticated. He's kind of a hard singer to like understand his phrasing sometimes. He kind of sounds like he's mumbling, but he's studied great soul singers. You hear it.
And Geese are playing the Green River Festival in Greenfield, Massachusetts in June.
So. Ooh, catch them while you can, because, I mean, they're going to be in arenas pretty fast. The Paramount in the city is a nice venue, but it's a big box kind of theater, sort of like Brooklyn Steel.
Yeah, Terminal 5.
Terminal 5. You know, on occasion when I can catch shows in the Mid-Hudson Valley, we have so many great venues here. Tubby's in Kingston, super great. Great venues in Massachusetts as well.
Iron Horse in Northampton is open again, which is so great.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That is good news. New club in New Paltz, which was just a restaurant, kind of piano bar, but it has started putting on shows. The Lemon Squeeze, that's nice, kind of like a, I don't know, it's 100, 150 cap room. So that's a club. Levon Helm Studios, as always, in Woodstock, and Bearsville in Woodstock, where we saw Lucius.
We did see Lucius this May. Lucius is my favorite band.
Yes.
And
Wilco is feeling jealous.
Jilted. I don't think they're paying attention. But I just cannot get enough of Lucius and their new self-titled record. It came out in May when we saw them at Bearsville. It's produced and mixed by Dan Molad, who's in the band, which you love that. That's the Mountain Goats had that too, one of their inside guys getting to mold and produce. We love it. And I want to play a little bit of the Lucius record. It's another one I spent a lot of time with this year, as I always do with all of their albums. They have not had a dud for me. And this song, Old Tape, features Adam from War on Drugs. They were on a song on War on Drugs album a couple years ago and returned the favor on this song, which I just love.
What did I find?
Lucius, their self-titled record came out in May, and that is a little bit of Old Tape.
Nice. Adam is a classicist. I love that guy. Yeah. Great tunesmith. Likes Dylan a lot. Sometimes his songs kind of sound like, not early Dylan, but kind of like mid-era Dylan. And Lucius were on a record, which I thought came out this year, but it actually came out last year, by T-Bone Burnett, kind of slept on record. It was a T-Bone Burnett folk record. It's defined by the songs that they sing harmony on, because their harmonies are just so great.
I'm never, ever going to get tired of them, and I hope that they thrive and their vocal cords thrive for as long as they want.
Now, there's another record, and this is, I know you're a huge Brandi Carlile fan.
I am among the many.
Yes, and she put out a record, I guess nominally a solo record, but Brandi Carlile is known, I think, as much from her own work as from her collaborations with all sorts of people, with Elton John, with Joni Mitchell, all like, this is a woman who like loves, respects, and ultimately has worked with a lot of like her elders, the greats.
Right. She produced a record for Tanya Tucker within the last few years.
Right. The Tanya Tucker record was great.
Yeah. She's, I mean, she's amazing. And she does have this solo album, but worked with Andrew Watt and Aaron Dessner from The National and Justin Vernon, aka yeah. Bon Iver, on this album. And it is another collection of gorgeous Brandy songs on her Brandy Carlile other album she writes with the Hanseroth twins. Right. Some of her famous songs were written by one or both of the twins, but they, you know, come together to create the orchestrations and play together and live on a compound in the Pacific Northwest together.
And the Hanseroth twins are, I mean, they're just like her peeps.
Her band, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she has Sista Strings, who record and tour with them a lot now, too. These African-American sisters who play the cello and the violin, and they're phenomenal. They also sing backup.
Yeah, and I think they've done a record or two by themselves.
Absolutely,
well.
They have. Yeah. Yeah. So Brandy put out a solo album. She's been, you know, talking about it very beautifully, saying, you know, I've been told that I'm codependent and I need to really look inside and find out who I am. And I found that kind of boring and think that me being connected with people, I'm of course paraphrasing, and she said it a lot of different and more beautiful ways, but, you know, for her, she said being there for people and leaning on people still seems right. So she's ready to get out of herself after releasing this beautiful project for all of us.
And boy, oh boy, is that a sentiment that I think we can, you know, consider writ large as something we should all keep in mind. Like, we spend too much time on our phones. We spend too much time in front of our screens. We spend too much time communicating, quote unquote, through electronic media devices. And we really need to, like, get up and gather. Going to see live music is one great way to do that.
Let's listen to a little bit of Human, which is one of the lead songs off the album, but the sentiment and the lyrics and the melody and the drive, it's just gorgeous. Can't get enough of it.
Baby, you're only gonna hurt your back looking down like that. Cut yourself a little more slack. Baby, you're gonna have a heart attack, and they won't thank you. They don't make awards for that. We know by now that time does not take sides.
Brandy Carlile's Returning to Myself. That was a little bit of Human. I'm Sarah LaDuke here with Will Hermes, wrapping up the year in music. There's always more to talk about than we can fit, but we have time to end with jazz, if you wish.
Yeah, this was a great, great year for jazz, and we're not going to have time to get into it. I honestly don't keep track of it as closely as I would like to. I was super interested, as I was last year, in the label International Anthem, which is a Chicago-born jazz label, but they do a lot more than jazz. They're now, you know, kind of based in L.A. as well. They had a number of great records that were sort of jazz-ish, kind of in that vein. A record by the instrumental group Tortoise, very famous band from the 90s that really put out a great comeback record. Tom Skinner, the drummer from Radiohead, put out like a very cool, you know, jazzy abstract percussion record. That's very, very cool on International Anthem. But the record I want to go out on is by Marshall Allen. Marshall Allen he had been an important member of the Sun Ra Orchestra for many, many years. He is keeping that group alive. He put out a solo record. I'm not sure if this is like his first solo record. It's definitely one of his rare solo records because he normally records with Sun Ra Orchestra. And he turned, I think he turns 102.
Wow.
Soon. Philly-based guy, I believe. Anyway, this is it's a very spiritual, as all of his music is, an uplifting record with a number of artists helping him out. This song we're going to hear is called New Dawn, which feels like a good thing to be playing as we're at the brink of a new year. And it has vocals by Nana Cherry, who's the daughter of the late Don Cherry, great jazz trumpeter in that progressive jazz realm, really global-minded jazz realm. Cosmos-minded jazz realm, which would be appropriate for Marshall Allen and the Sun Ra legacy. Anyway, Sarah, I think we're out of time.
We are. We will let New Dawn take us out as we wrap up. Will, you have contributed some marvelous music interviews to the program this year. We're so grateful to have you as a friend of the station and a friend personally. I always learn so much from you. I'm always so thrilled to run into you around the valley, and thank you so much.
It's always my pleasure. Thanks for letting me get on the mic and gab a little bit.
Since the dawn of time, our creator's mind, be it me or you, way beyond all of you.
Hermes is a regular contributor to NPR, The New York Times, Rolling Stone, and Pitchfork. He's the author of the books Love Goes to Buildings on Fire and Lou Reed, The King of New York. His Substack of music writing is at newmusicoldmusic.substack.com. Links to more information will be posted along with this conversation online at wamc.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke. You're listening to The Roundtable. Happy New Year.